You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 30th, 2020. Whistleblower back in the house. Whistleblower. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Can you not name the whistleblower in this Senate impeachment process? Can you not raise his name? Can you not bring him in to testify? Is the president going to be denied his Sixth Amendment rights to confront his accuser? Well, Justice Roberts yesterday blocking Senator Rand Paul from naming the whistleblower. Rand Paul says, I might just force the issue. I want to see the whistleblower. And it's not just that. If you're going to bring that witness in, you want to hear from Adam Schiff. What did he know about the whistleblower and when did he know it? There are a lot of questions and answers to come. And speaking of questions and answers, that's where this trial is getting ready to go. If it continues, they could take a vote at any moment to see if they have enough votes to just dismiss it. We've heard from both sides, nothing here, close the door, everybody go home. Could be. But then if we're going to go to questions and answers, does the Chief Justice presiding over this have the right to reject a question from a senator or rephrase it or edit it or flat out censor it? We have an expert going to join us a little bit later, and we're going to discuss exactly what powers he has. Imagine this. Imagine you're one of the senators, and you want to ask a question, and you want to make some remark that we believe that Adam Schiff lied to us, so we want to hear from him at some point. Can we get? And the Chief Justice sees that. He says, in his mind, I don't want to say that Adam Schiff lied, so I'm not going to repeat the question, or I'll just not even read your question. Can he do that? And then there's word circulating that Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the Senate, might have enough votes to dismiss calls for any new witnesses, for any witnesses whatsoever. In other words, you'll do your question and answer session, and then we'll take a vote, and we're done then. Either way, we'll have this constitutional expert on board to give us an idea of what can be done at this point. And can you keep the name of the whistleblower from being presented? The whistleblower law and protection has been wildly mischaracterized by the left. The whole intent of the whistleblower protection law was to prevent retaliation at your place of work. And even if they knew who you were, they could not do anything against you. That was the intent. There's no issue here. Shouldn't be. But I think, and you think, and you know, and I know the real reason they don't want the whistleblower ID'd because of the baggage the whistleblower has previously working with the Democrats and often already noted as saying, we'll look for a way to get rid of Trump as soon as he gets in office. They don't want that to come up. But if they're going to bring Bolton in, as the Democrats want to do, I say get ready to bring in, I want that whistleblower. And then I want Hunter Biden. We still need to answer some questions. We need to pose some questions for him. I have a question for you. Can you refuse service when an officer of the court, maybe a marshal, somebody like that, tries to serve you with a subpoena or some document? Can you say, I don't want that, walk away from me? You want to hear what Hillary Clinton's doing with the help of the Secret Service. And also the plot to destroy Bernie Sanders' campaign from inside the Democrat Party. Another issue for the next 2 hours. I'm in favor of capital punishment. But there is a case I've been considering and looking at that has already been carried out with an execution, and I have some concerns about it. Are you aware of what the Innocence Project is? This was saving death row inmates from execution. We're going to get into that before we wrap up the next 2 hours. Oh, and one other little point. Nancy Pelosi is saying, if there are no witnesses called before this Senate inquiry, Trump will not be fully acquitted. We knew that. We knew that going in. They can have all the witnesses and acquit him. No, it's not enough. They can have no witnesses. It's not enough. They are never going to accept the verdict, as they have also rejected repeatedly the will of the American people in the election. All right, friends, we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Please, lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If there's going to be one witness, there'll be more. There's 53 Republican votes to call Hunter Biden, not 51, not 52, because all of us believe this trial goes on. Hunter Biden is a very relevant witness.
The words of Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. If there's going to be one witness, there'll be more. 53 Republican votes to call Hunter Biden, not 51, not 52, because we believe as the trial goes on, if it continues or they want witnesses, Hunter Biden, you're at the top of the list. Democrats want to hear from Bolton. They want Bolton in front of them. They think he will say whatever is needed to put the final nail in the coffin of Donald Trump. And they're basing that upon this book that's coming out in March that's been leaked one way or the other to the New York Times. And the New York Times reporter covering that part of the story has not seen the book, hasn't seen a draft, is relying on folks who have. We don't know still at this point if Bolton and his publisher are behind the leak. They have denied it. At least Bolton's attorney has. We don't know if it came out of the National Security Ethics Committee, where as a former National Security Advisor, he had to submit information that he was going to publish to make sure it didn't reveal any U.S. secrets that are to be kept confidential, obviously. But if I were hazarding a guess, that's where I would say it got leaked, because Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's brother is one of those serving on that ethics committee. And Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was one of the ones called by the Democrats as they were originally starting their inquiry into setting up this sham of an impeachment. Can you just imagine Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's brother over the ethics side of the National Security Agency saying, hey, you won't believe what I got in front of me. Listen to this. And let's find a way to leak it. I don't know for a fact. I don't know. But I'm raising questions. Here's the other thing. Yesterday, as I said in the opening, Rand Paul was pushing to have some remarks made or to name or question or present as a witness, if they're going to do that, the so-called whistleblower. And to that extent, Chief Justice Roberts stopped it. Rand Paul has suggested he will continue pushing, that he's not done with it. But I bring you to this. The U.S. Constitution, Amendment 6. Amendment 6, guaranteeing you a speedy trial, a fair jury, an attorney if you need one or want one, and the chance to confront the witnesses accusing you of a crime, which would be the whistleblower and all the others standing in that line over there that want to claim that they've got information on Donald Trump. And to that extent, I don't care if you are the president or if you've just been elected dog catcher of the smallest town and you're only looking for one chihuahua on the loose. You have a right to face your accuser. The president is not above the law, but he's also not denied the law. We don't know yet if they're actually going to call any witnesses. And it's been made very clear that if you call one, as Senator Graham said, we're going to call more. There are four Democrat senators locked down inside the Senate, cannot text, cannot use their phones. They had to sit there and listen to the testimony, arguing, going back and forth, back and forth. That would include Senators Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar, and Bennett. They want to be on the campaign trail, but they're locked down in here. And if witnesses start parading through, this thing is going to stretch out a couple weeks, maybe longer. So on one hand, they might pose and act like they want to hear from witnesses too. Yes, we want to hear from Bolton. They might do that. But I don't think they really want to spend their time locked up in that chamber because they know it's still going to come down to an acquittal. Although, as I read a moment ago in the opening monologue, Nancy Pelosi already setting the stage for the leftists. If there are no witnesses called and the president's acquitted, then it's not a true trial. I'd pose this question back to Nancy. Congresswoman, with all due respect, if there are only witnesses called for your side and the president's acquitted, would you be done with it then? No, of course they're not going to. They got their mind made up. Well, they should take a look at a Quinnipiac University poll that just came out. 77% who want President Trump to stay in office do not see any issue, no problem with Ukraine dealings. The country is almost evenly divided on removing Trump, 48% against doing it, 47% for it. But then those who want him to stay in office, 77%, say, don't see anything wrong with Ukraine. And, of course, it goes along the partisan lines, as you would expect. And they want to hear some more evidence and so forth. But at this point, they've taken the attitude, we don't need to do anything else. He's done nothing. We've already seen enough. And I think, for the most part, a lot of the public's tuning it out. But this is interesting in the sense that you've got some groups that are trying their best to keep it live and in front of you. Perfect example would be the TV program The View, you know, with all those women on it. Now, I don't say those women in a derogatory way. I don't mean that at all. But they're all left, except for one that's on there from time to time. I don't even know if she's still on. I don't watch the darn program. But I did take note of this, that they brought on Alan Dershowitz. They wanted to, they thought, these women, their collective sense was, we are women, we are strong, we're smarter than Alan Dershowitz, the constitutional law professor. I know that's what the attitude was. They had to be. So they bring him on ABC's The View to discuss the constitutionality of what's taking place at this point. I'm not sure a couple of them could even spell constitution. But aside from that, let's pick up with one of the questions that came from one of the principals, and then Dershowitz schools them.
This is Joy. We just heard you argue in that clip that whatever John Bolton says doesn't matter. Right. You still don't think any of this is impeachable. But the only people who actually agree with you are on your defense team. And 75% of Americans want to hear from Bolton. So why should we listen to you?
Well, I made the constitutional arguments. My sole role in the case was to argue the constitutional issues. I would have been making exactly the same argument if Hillary Clinton had been elected president and if she had been impeached for abuse of power, obstruction of Congress. In fact, I started doing my research on impeachment and decided to write a book when Hillary Clinton was in the lead and it looked like she'd be elected and the Republicans were yelling, lock her up and impeach her. Indeed, we did a cover, a mock cover, from my book, the original title of which was The Case Against Impeaching Clinton, Hillary Clinton. So I'm making exactly the same constitutional argument. I'm not arguing about witnesses. What I'm saying is the charge of obstruction of Congress and abuse of power are not within the constitutional terms, high crimes and misdemeanors. The framers rejected terms just like that. They rejected maladministration as a potential term. And maladministration is virtually the same as abuse of power. I have to make this point. At the shortly after the Constitution was enacted, okay, the dean of the Columbia Law School said that the weight of authority was in favor of it being a crime. Now the academics all say it isn't. Why? Because Donald Trump is being impeached. If Hillary Clinton were being impeached, they'd all be on
That's
my
just
side.
Baloney.
he nailed it. If it were Hillary Clinton, you'd all be on my side. And you heard Joy say, that's baloney. By the way, he offered a $1,000 bet on the issue. I didn't hear one of them take him up on it. Yesterday and previous, and in that statement to some extent, some are believing that Dershowitz is saying, if you're running for re-election, a president running for re-election, you can do anything and nobody can stop you and you're not violating any law. That's not at all what he was saying. He is saying that every president and every politician does similar things to what they're trying to say that Trump did was wrong. Let's just talk about, very directly, the three-word charge they were going to go with against Trump. And let's look at all political campaigns on either side of the political fence. The three words are you ready for it? Because they did a test group with this and they decided to walk away from these words because they think you're too stupid to understand what it is. I know better. I know you know what it is. But they decided we can't use those words. We have to go with words like bribery and extortion, and we'll get more of the American people behind us. But the words are quid pro quo. And the point being that every politician in running for office has a little quid pro quo with those coming to the door with cash in hand and looking for a favor down the road, contributing to the campaign. That doesn't mean a full sellout and a bribery. No one is saying that. It's just the fact that, hey, I gave you a campaign. I'd like to have you maybe make an appearance at our annual gathering. Well, is anything really being sold that's harmful at that point? And every dealing you have is a quid pro quo to an extent. You go into a grocery store, you give them money, they give you something. That's a quid pro quo, something in exchange for something of value, whatever you want to go. You get into this arena of politics, and then it becomes a whole new interpretation, depending upon your political perspective. If you're going to be honest about it, every politician is guilty of it at some time or another if they're trying to win election. And then when they were in office, they turn around and do it all over again. Members of the House, the Congress have it tougher. I mean, 2 years, you got a chance to, you're barely in the door and they're already looking for campaign donations for the next round. Senators get 6 years. That's a help. The president gets four. But they're always looking for where do I'm going to get the extra money to run a new campaign and who's going to help me and what do they want in return? What can I give? That won't be a full out bribery, but is acceptable. But they would have you believe that Alan Dershowitz is making the claim that if you are running for reelection, you can do anything and not violate federal law or the Constitution. Not true. Don't buy the argument. And, of course, we saw in the beginning when the Russian Mueller case investigation started, even before that got involved, how they were trying to nail members of the Trump campaign. One of them who got caught early is fighting back, and I'm glad to see he is, because this guy has been maligned and abused in this process. His story coming up.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's my director, Quentin. Good at work, knowing that we're going to discuss Michael Flynn, who was facing jail time, prison time. Well, now, he wasn't going to be going to Folsom. But he was going to go to a federal pen. Now the Department of Justice is backing down from seeking any jail time, saying, oh, we'll accept probation. Keep in mind, Michael Flynn, who was a national security advisor in the Trump administration for just 24 days, got trapped in some comments and questions when they started this digging for Russian investigation, trying to nail anyone and everyone around Donald Trump and him as well. Flynn has since filed a new motion saying, in truth, I never lied. My guilty plea has rankled me through the process. I allowed myself to succumb to threats from the government to save my family. I believe I was grossly misled about what really happened. He said one of the ways a person becomes a three-star general is by being a good soldier, taking orders, being part of a team, trusting those who provide information and support. He says, my wife and I accepted the words of our attorneys at the time to guide us. And he said, we felt totally powerless, and now we realize we got bad information. I'm glad to see him begin to fight back. I know when you say, well, he committed perjury, Larry. Well, according to the government, he did. But I will tell you this. If you've ever been in a deposition of any type, whatever you say in that deposition, they tell you in the beginning, you're under oath. And they're going to come back a few days, weeks later, ask you similar questions, if not exactly the same questions. And if you say, well, I was wearing a brown suit that day, and now you say, well, I remember I was wearing a blue suit, they're suddenly looking at you, well, what else is wrong? Now, that's a very small mistake, but that's where the saying, from a small acorn, a great tree grows. And in the meantime, ex-Trump aide Carter Page filing suit against the DNC over the dossier they used to go after him and get surveillance warrants from the FISA court. He wants to nail them to the wall, and I'm glad Carter Page is going to do that. He said this is the first salvo. We'll follow the evidence wherever it leads, no matter how high, the rule of law will prevail. I'm glad both of those guys saying, look, we now see, now that all this has been exposed about how this dossier was tied to the DNC and Hillary Clinton and even Ukraine, and we were jeopardized by an overzealous FBI, but an ambushing FBI with an agenda. So they're fighting back, and I'm glad. When we were in the last segment, Lindsey Graham was holding a news conference, and I'm seeing the word pop up now is what he did. He was saying about the whistleblower, he said it's not necessarily a good idea right now in this environment to get the whistleblower's name out. He says, but maybe later on. Well, we're going to discuss that with my guest coming up in a moment. Mainly, should it and could it be denied by Chief Justice Roberts? And where they're going to be going? They're beginning to start asking questions. How much can the judge do in dismissing, editing, or simply ignoring a question from a member of the Senate? I think you're going to find it interesting. And to give us a better insight on what authority the judge does or does not have in this proceeding.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest is Thomas Gipping, an expert in constitutional law. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks for having me.
I was looking at a piece you wrote yesterday, and you had a key takeaway noted in it. And here's the way it reads, audience. I want to share with you. President Trump's impeachment defense team will finish presenting their case today. Again, this was written yesterday. After that comes a period of up to 16 hours for senators to question the parties. Then it's time to rumble. Your words, sir. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we're ready, right?
Well, the proceedings so far have been just sort of the predictable, regular presentations of their cases, and yesterday and today, senators' questions. I mean, the real issue that has to be decided by the Senate prior to the final conviction or acquittal is whether to call additional witnesses or to seek additional documents as evidence. That's going to come to a head tomorrow, and that's really the decision that everybody has been focusing on.
And you're saying that that's when the fireworks really start. McConnell is apparently saying he's got enough votes to not call any witnesses to override that.
I think he probably does, and there's actually more than one way to prevent any witnesses from testifying. So he has more than, it's not that he has to put all of his eggs in one basket, but I think in the end that he would have at least 51 votes to not have additional witnesses testify.
Well, Lindsey Graham had earlier said, if we're going to call one witnesses, we're going to have not just 51, we'll have 52, we'll have 53 Republicans who want to call other witnesses, including Hunter Biden.
I believe that that's true, and if you actually listen to the rhetoric from the Democratic side, the reasons that they say they want additional witnesses. They talk in terms of, you know, a trial court cannot come to a good decision until they've heard all the evidence, until they've, you know, anybody that has testimonial evidence, you know, ought to be heard. I saw one letter from a group of law professors sent to a couple of senators where they said, you know, all of the relevant evidence, you know, should be considered. Well, if that's true, if they mean what they say, that certainly doesn't apply only to one side.
Well, Nancy, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Nancy Pelosi's already said if there are no witnesses, if he's impeached without any witnesses, this wasn't really a trial. My point also being, he's entitled, the president's entitled to his Sixth Amendment rights, and if you're going to call witnesses from one side, and he has a right to face the accuser, the whistleblower also has to be one of those put on the stand.
Well, remember that Nancy Pelosi held the impeachment hostage for over a month because she wanted the Senate to promise a trial that followed her rules. You know, that she somehow had to sign off on the trial procedures, which, of course, is nonsense. Of course it's going to be a trial. It is a trial. And just because you don't like the outcome doesn't mean that something went wrong. The fact of the matter is the Senate has almost 30,000 pages of the House evidentiary record that's already been introduced. They have hundreds of pages of trial briefs and memoranda from both sides. Both sides spent almost more than 40 hours presenting their case to the Senate yesterday and today, 16 hours of senators' questions. That's more information than senators could possibly go through in 6 months if they had the interest in doing so. So the idea that, you know, you won't have all the information that they need, or that somehow it won't be a fair trial because a couple of people didn't testify, is absolutely ridiculous.
You're listening to Thomas Gipping with Heritage Foundation. Yesterday, Justice Roberts blocked Senator Rand Paul from naming the whistleblower, and during a break, apparently those up in the gallery could hear Paul standing up saying, if I have to stand up to try to fight for recognition, I will, but I don't think I should have to do that, that I should be able to be heard as it is. Your take on what took place yesterday?
Well, that's not what the rules provide, and I think, you know, Senator Paul has to follow the rules like everybody else. The Senate's impeachment trial rules dictate that during this period of senators' questions, senators write their questions down. They are given to the Chief Justice, who has authority to make some judgments about legitimacy of the questions.
That is a key point. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there because that is a key point. I want to deal in it. I want to dig into that, but I interrupted you in your mid-thought. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, no, only that he does have the authority to make some of those judgments, but ultimately the Senate has the final authority. So if Senator Paul wants to make a motion that the full Senate should vote on that issue, whether to expose the whistleblower, he's free to do so. I'll predict here that if he were to do that, it would be an overwhelming bipartisan vote not to do so. So he doesn't have the option of, like he would on the Senate floor in normal Senate proceedings, you know, to say, you know, to ask for recognition just to speak and this kind of thing. That's not what the rules provide, and that's not how an impeachment trial works.
My question is, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, but it's something I'd talked about with the audience before you joined us. How much leeway and authority does the Chief Justice Roberts have? He gets a question. Can he look at it and say, well, I'm going to read part of it, or I'm going to reject all of it, or I'm going to edit it? And like maybe if there's a reference in there from one of the senators saying, we've heard Adam Schiff lying all the way through this, we want him to appear. And he said, well, I don't want to use the word lying to Adam Schiff. I mean, what authority does he have to censor or just flat dismiss a question from a member of the U.S. Senate?
Well, the Senate's impeachment trial rules govern that, and they do give him some authority to make some judgments along those lines. But again, if a senator writes a question down, it goes to the Chief Justice, and he refuses to ask it or changes it in some way, that senator has the option to make a motion for the the side to which that question was directed can make a motion that the Senate make that decision, and they can overrule the Chief Justice. So that's the check on the decisions that the Chief Justice makes. He does not have unilateral unchecked authority to make a lot of these substantive judgments, but he is the presiding officer of the trial, so he can make some initial judgments, but there are ways to overcome that if it's a really important issue.
Now, does the question go direct to him, or does it go to the manager on either side for the House prosecution or the House defense that's representing the president's side? Do they see the question, and then they turn it over to the judge? I mean, is someone else seeing the question so if we know if he rejected one? Who all sees the question, I guess, is what I'm getting around to.
Well, the senator hands the card on which he's written the question to a page, and the page gives it directly to the chief justice. So no one else is
in between.
No.
Okay.
No. Mm-mm.
But again, I guess, if I'm looking at the attitude and approach right now, the fact that Roberts has taken this position with Senator Rand Paul, does it suggest a leaning already as to what his thought is about having any witnesses or the whistleblower? I mean, is that part of his purview?
The decision whether to have witnesses, that's not his to make. So The decision whether to have witnesses will be a motion that the Senate will vote on. So Roberts has nothing to do with the decision whether to call additional witnesses. He has no role in that whatsoever. That single decision that, in fact, I mean, remember that for example, if the Senate were to decide that they wanted more witnesses, those witnesses would first be deposed by both sides. They wouldn't automatically end up in the well of the Senate testifying in public. Part of that is to have a little bit of protection for the witnesses and their identity in case what they testify about, you know, is either controversial or whatever. And the same idea is here with regard to the whistleblower.
All right.
So I don't think senators should just necessarily have the freedom to blab someone's identity out there. Frankly, I'm one who did think the whistleblower should have testified before the House, but they didn't do that. If we're going to say that these other individuals like Mick Mulvaney and John Bolton, who didn't testify before the House, shouldn't testify in the Senate, maybe we should apply that evenly across the board.
I'm going to swing on a subject with you quickly. I know you're certainly qualified to answer it, and it's one I had not put down that I want to discuss. I'm looking into Hillary Clinton and the suit she's facing from Tulsi Gabbard, and Hillary has been refusing to be served legal papers, Secret Service even blocking process servers from getting to her to deliver the papers. Can an individual refuse such subpoena papers as delivered by an officer of the court?
Sure they can, yeah.
So
I suppose if Tulsi Gabbard wanted then to go back to court and ask for some, you know, procedure to enforce that process, she could, but it's a silly lawsuit to begin with, so I don't know what she gains by it.
So if someone comes up and says, are you Tom Gipping, and you answer yes, and you're served, they hand it to you, you're stuck with it.
If I take it, yeah.
Yeah. So you can just say, get that thing away from me.
Well, I say, I don't know what you're talking about, and walk away and get lunch. I mean, you know.
Well said, Counselor, well said. Tom, thank you as always. We appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Would do it again. Tom Gipping from the Heritage Foundation. Now, have you ever been in that situation, folks, where somebody's trying to serve legal papers on you? And have you heard exactly what Hillary's doing, reference this? I'll tell you what, I'll take time in the next segment. I'll break out what she's doing. I have been served several times and always caught off guard. And I'm an easy target for a process server. I'll explain when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Throughout 50 years in journalism, both from the work and professional side, and sometimes private issues also coming up, I've been served to either testify in a court case or served to bring documents or served where they wanted to see something from me, whatever. And I'm such an easy target. Folks walk up to me and say, "Hey, you're Larry Connors." I say, "Yeah, I am." Reach over, shake their hand. "You're served." They hand papers to me. Well, thanks a lot. I mean, if they're in a uniform, I might have a different approach, but generally it's just some guy or woman. Just I'm trying to be nice back to them, and that's what I get. That's what I get. I had one a while back. I swear to you, I'm playing poker. I take a break from poker. I go to get something to eat. Somebody I know that is in the poker room, excuse me, is in the poker room, and I don't pay attention. Comes up over to me and says, "Hey, Larry, I want to show you something. I got something you want to see." I said, I don't want to take anything. I don't have any place to put it. I'm going right back into the poker room." "No, I think you really need to see this. You want to see this." And I'm thinking he's trying to peddle a story on me for me to cover. And I said, "I really don't have." He said, "Well, just take a look at it." And being polite, when he hands it toward me, I take it in my hand. And he says, "You're served." Well, I've been looking for him on the felt ever since. I will bust him and take every dollar he's got if I get in a poker hand with him again. Aside from that, Hillary Clinton is refusing to be served. Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman from Hawaii, seeking the 2020 presidential nomination, filed a $50 million lawsuit against Hillary last week because Hillary had insinuated that Gabbard was a Russian asset. Gabbard and her representatives say that damaged my campaign. It's made everybody think that maybe I'm a Russian. She has served our country, Gabbard, 38 years of age, member of the Hawaii Army National Guard, served in Iraq before being elected to Congress in 2012. She says Hillary Clinton and her allies are trying to smear me and accuse me, implying I'm a traitor to our country, traitor to the country I love. I will not allow it to go unchecked. I'm glad she's fighting back. So they've been trying to serve the suit on Hillary. Secret Service agents are all around Hillary as they are around Bill. That's the way we do it. When a president leaves the office, we continue to give them Secret Service protection. That includes spouses and sometimes children as well, because you don't want anyone trying to get to them in revenge of some type. And the Secret Service agents are turning away a process server when he tried to deliver it to her home. They was instructed then to deliver it to the papers to her attorney. But when they went to the attorney's office, they also declined to accept it. I guess I'm going to give Hillary credit for doing something I didn't. Of course, if they just find her out walking around and, "Hey, Hillary, I'm thinking about voting for you. Will you sign this for me and hand it to her?" Then you've got her. Then you've got her. I don't know. But Tulsi Gabbard in this $50 million lawsuit, I don't know where it's going to go, but I'm glad she's taking action back against it. She is not going to let Hillary get away with suggesting she's a Russian asset, and I'm glad of that. Hillary, how would she suggest that was back in October 2019, one of the Democrat presidential candidates, quote, was a favorite of the Russians and was being groomed as a third-party candidate for the 2020 general election. Clinton never mentioned Gabbard by name, but when asked to confirm, "Were you referring to Gabbard?" her spokesman said, "If the nesting doll fits." That's a reference to those popular Russian dolls that one fits inside of another. That's what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. So she's going to fight back. Good. So we are looking at senators today asking questions, getting their questions ready. And then after all this, then the trial rules say there will be 4 hours of debate, then a vote on whether the Senate should seek witnesses and documents. And we may or may not see a quick resolution after that. Rand Paul, of course, still insisting, "I want the whistleblower name." He tried to do it yesterday. Chief Justice Roberts signaled that he was not going to allow him to do it, was not going to read any question that had the whistleblower's name in it. Question: how does the Supreme Court justice know who the whistleblower is? I thought nobody knew the name except those inside Adam Schiff's office, and that even Adam Schiff didn't know. See, somebody going around has horns on his head that you can spot him? I don't know. Here's what we got coming up for the rest of the day's program. A plot to destroy Bernie Sanders. A plot inside the Democrat Party. And Hillary Clinton is once again playing a role in it. We'll get into that. And we'll bring you up to speed on the coronavirus. No, it has nothing to do with drinking Corona beer. Some folks actually were thinking that. No, it doesn't. And then something more serious. The Innocence Project. The group that has stood for numerous dozens of inmates scheduled for execution and proven they were innocent and got them off death row and out of prison. I am in favor of capital punishment. But there is a case where a man just got executed for a crime that I have some concerns about. And we'll be discussing all of that. It's coming up in the second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.